1987. This is Winter Augusta, the folk cultures of Southwest Louisiana class with Millie Hedlund and Michael Doucet.
So you give me an idea of what to do. Does that make sense? Even if it doesn't, we're going to do it. You want to start?
I'm Gene Montgomery. Excuse me, Gene Montgomery from Baltimore. And I'm here because Dewey Balfa infected me 2 years ago.
Good,
and I'm
great.
Forever.
I love it. Spread the disease.
I'm Will Wedman from Chicago. And I'm here for almost the exact same reason. Dewey got to me a year ago in Chicago.
All right. Yeah.
I'm Bob Schmackula from Cleveland, Ohio, and I play in the Cajun band Stand By You, and I need new tunes.
I didn't get to hear y'all when y'all were in Rhode Island.
We're too busy.
Yeah.
There's too many things to do, too much food to eat.
That's good.
Too much fun.
Great.
I'm Sandy Hopkins from Tacoma Park, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C. And I'm a fiddler, and I don't know anything much about Cajun music, but I'm here to learn.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that sounds good.
I'm Maureen Dam from West Virginia. Dewey also affected me.
All right.
Bob Stone from down near Miami, Florida. And I'm just really interested in Cajun music. Play a fiddle, kind of get started on the accordion.
All right.
Tracy got me started a couple of years ago up at Ashokan.
Good.
I'm Judy Trotta from Miami, Florida. Went to Lafayette last September for the Cajun Music Festival. And learned once more about the culture.
And you survived.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's great.
I'm Linda Vincent from Hyattsville, Maryland. And I know nothing about Cajun culture or anything. So that's
great. You're
good.
The one. All right.
Yeah. I need to be impressed. That's the one.
Yes?
Oh, Marge Steiner, I'm a folklorist, and just interested in sort of people and culture. Also have a close friend at Moncton University in Canada who's been working with Canadian culture, and so would be interested in exploring some parallels.
What's his or her name?
Ronald LaBelle, University of Moncton.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Okay. Yeah, do you know Gerard Gold? Did you ever run into him? He's at Laval.
Yeah, but name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a good person to run into.
Yeah.
He did a lot of work, sociological work in Louisiana as far as the Mamou area and different thing and Cajuns and their stigmatisms and everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Great.
I'm Philip Alderman. I'm from St. Louis. And I was introduced to Cajun culture in Alexandria, Louisiana, when I was in the Air Force.
Air Force, all right.
And I've heard you play, and I'm a fan of on the radio.
Well, great. That's going to be fun.
I'm Harlan Rainey from College Park, Maryland. It looks like everybody in my neighborhood is here.
That's right.
1, 2, 3, four.
Sounds like a good neighborhood.
It is a good neighborhood.
I'm Bob Dallas. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. And what little I know about Cajun music, I learned from Tracy, I guess. He comes through every once in a while and gives a little workshop in my living room. So I decided to come down and get some more of it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal. Tracy's right next to you. That's a good deal.
I'm Tracy Flores. I'm in transit. I stopped in for directions for Bazio, Louisiana.
It's on the way. Just good.
My name is Steve Feldman. I live in Southwest Virginia right now. I've always been mainly an old-time fiddle player, but I've recently become infected myself with Cajun. I have not acted a whole lot upon that yet.
Great.
That's why I'm here.
Are you the one that did that book in Ireland, an Irish book? Are you the
No.
Okay, sorry.
Hi, I'm Karen Isbell from St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm here, I'm just interested.
Oh, we have two people from St. Louis, yeah. 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 All together, yeah, it makes sense. It's going down the road. Now I'll remember everybody's name, by the way.
Yeah. I'm Dan Meany, I'm from Toronto,
like Cajun music, kind of bring much exposure to it, and know nothing about what it comes out of. So.
All right.
This is Mike Stapleton. I'm also from around the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. Mm-hmm. I'm mainly an old-time fiddle player, but I got a bad hankering for Cajun accordion. Took a course with Tracy here over the summer.
All right.
Just fired up on it. Gotta do it.
Let's go.
I'm Paul Williams. I'm from Chicago. I've been listening to Cajun for many years and eating Cajun for a couple of years. Trying to find out what was behind it all.
Yeah, well, oh, that's going to be fun. Well, all right. Huh? Oh, I'm
Michael.
Sorry.
Michael.
Yeah, that's right. I thought you...
Well, I'm Tina Liza Jones, and I went down to run Mardi Gras in 76 down in Mamou.
Well.
Sorry, I wasn't allowed to run. Only the men are.
You can mask up.
And Dale Menard, I tried to mask up. I was clever, but they were clever, much clever. And it was Dale Menard who showed me this upstroke, which made me happy with my guitar playing for the first time in my life. And I haven't played any Cajun since this course with Tracy and them this summer.
All right.
And I'm hooked now.
All right.
I'm Michael Klein. I got hooked back in 80, I think, when... 81, when I went up to the National Folk Festival and gathered up Dewey and and DL and brought them back here to play a concert here in Elkins. Mm-hmm. So we had them around one whole weekend. And just hearing them talk and hearing them play music, and I thought what a wonderful thing. But the only thing I knew about Cajun culture before that was abandoned.
Yes. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
That's
so
good.
And then meeting Millie and watching her dance, and Tracy coming through. And so it's become a subculture of Elkins, actually, as it has.
It's a lot of friendship.
Many places.
Really? That was the second question. How were they received? You know, what kind of deal was that? Wow, that's amazing. You know, it's amazing for me because I don't know when I met Tracy. I guess Tracy is one of the first guys from out of the culture that was American that came down in Louisiana. I didn't consider this music anything special. It was something, it's sort of like, how can I describe it? It's sort of like knowing where your favorite fishing place is and always going there and it's always being there. But expecting everybody else has a similar fishing hole as long as they don't use yours, you know. And I don't know what it was or when it was, but it was something that kind of hit the air that all of a sudden when people get together, and that's what this music is, it's just getting together. There's nothing very serious about it, or it's serious about this music. We have to learn this music. It's like something that everybody just knew. Everybody knew these songs. Everybody knew certain songs, not all of the songs, because I'm learning songs every day. I mean, there's more songs than I can ever imagine now. But in a certain area, and I'm from where you call Lafayette Parish, we don't have an eraser, right? We have to use it. All right, I'll just show you sort of a Louisiana. I'm not an artist, obviously. This is Alexandria. See? That's Alexandria. That's the cutoff part. What do you have? You have this triangle, and this is New Orleans over here. This is the Mississippi River, follows this thing, goes down to New Orleans. You have this triangle. This is Beaumont, Texas, right here. This is Port Arthur. They call this the Golden Triangle, or the Texas Triangle. We'll talk about that later. This goes down to Lafourche. This is the basin. This is like, from the Mississippi, just to give you a little bit of geography of Louisiana, right here, this used to be the old Mississippi River, and it's now called the Chaffalaya. And what this comprises of, started between this is Baton Rouge right here.
I'm going to try to hold this up a little bit.
Oh.
Right.
You see? Ooh. This is like a basin area. And what I mean by basin, thousands, you know, 10,000 years ago, there was the alluvial plain of the Mississippi, which would flood all of this. And this became what they call the delta. This became sort of landfilled. But I mean, landfilled like that snow out there, right? I mean, you know, you, it's water. And this is this area, this was, and they have all kind, they have little towns. They have a great town. One of my favorite towns here is called Cutoff. You have to go. And guess where it is? The road ends at Cutoff. It's right down here. It's a great town. Now, where I come from, this is, let's say, this is Lafayette Parish. This was a seat. I come from a little town here. Scott. Let's read Scott. And the thing about Scott, they have a great bar. You know, Scott is known for his bars, his dance halls. And over the bar, outside, there's a sign that's been there for years, and it's called Where the West Begins.
Where the West.
So that just, so from here on is West. Now right here is a town called St. Martinsville. And St. Martin, obviously, it comes from the St. Martin, it's Catholic. This was first called Aposta Atakapa, and Atakapa, I'm not even going to try to spell it this morning, but Atakapa were Indians who were in Louisiana at that time. They were also, well, I wouldn't say cannibalistic, but they liked skin, you know? So it was that kind of, in other words, nobody really wanted to go out there. This guy by the name, if you want to read more about this, this guy by the name C.C. Robasser, I mean, he, this guy wrote this thing in 17, I have the date something, but it's almost like 1703. That he came through here and his party got, you know, attacked and murdered, and he survived and he started living with these Indians and he kind of dug it, except when they were going to eat. He didn't know if he was eating humans. He claims that, you know, he didn't know what he was eating, but it was a, it had a foul taste or something, he claimed. So anyway, so he got out of it. He lived to tell the story about it, and he went back to New Orleans. And New Orleans has been a port since, oh, the early 1600s, because, as you see, I mean, come down the Mississippi, et cetera. It's right at the end of it. It is also was known to be a port for the Caribbeans, for the islands, which we'll get into later as far as the slave trade and that influence, et cetera. This just gives you a little idea. Oh yeah, now Dewey lives up here. This is Bazil. Now Bazil is just, he comes from Grand Louis. It's a bayou that's in Mamou. Mamou's about right here. On the way to Alexandria. This is not exactly to scale, but almost, I would say it would be, this would be more like it, I guess. But you have, within this, you have 22 parishes. Okay, we don't have counties. We don't talk like that. We talk like this, and they have 22 parishes here. And because we was talking about St. Martinsville, getting back to it, it's a saint's name, it's a Catholic's name, San Martin. It was originally called Aposta Atakapa. That's when I got into the Indians and all that. Well, it was that was one of the outposts here. Okay, let me get back in here. This is St. Martinsville. Now, in this area, in this parish, is one of the only parishes, and this parish is a split. St. Martin's parish is like this. One part is right in the middle of the basin, one is on the edge of it, New Iberia is down there. Now, this parish comprises one of the few parishes in Louisiana that's mostly Creoles. Now, we'll get into this again. But let's say they had to make a long story short right now, they had a lot of French aristocracy there. And it was one of the first outposts of civilization surrounded by all these Indians right here. Now, in this parish, you can still find the language Creole spoken. And they said, what is Creole? Well, Creole, and it goes down there to Haiti and Martinique when the French and English traders were bringing in African slaves. They brought them in here to these islands here, and their language is a mixture of African and French, and from that they came to New Orleans, and that's where you have a Creole tradition. Now Creole, I guess we could get into this now. Creole has about as many meanings as you want it to mean. The original meanings of has to do with Spanish planters that moved to the New World. They moved to the New World, they moved here. This was the big deal was sugar and all this when it started infecting Europe and Europeans started losing their teeth and stuff and they moved up here. And then they moved up to New Orleans because this was really the port of the New World, the bigger port. With that they brought their language, but not these eras, not these families. I mean, the people who spoke in Creole wasn't called a language at that time, but it was their servants and slaves. And that's another important thing, which is sort of different with Louisiana and the rest of the South, is that the servants and slaves, they're people who worked in the house who were treated as families. And as that grew up, it became another society, a Creole society in New Orleans, where in the early 1800s, they developed their own opera, they developed their own plays, they developed their own societies, their own businesses. I mean, it's amazing structure that happened. And we'll go, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna divide, this is just overview, right? Overview today. And tomorrow, or you know, we'll get onto it, we'll discuss Acadian history, the French history, Black history, Creole history, and then the modern styles, because a lot of you fiddle players, so we're going to have to play a lot of these styles. But I just want to kind of give you any questions, by the way, because I'm just rambling.
That triangle?
That's the Cajun tribe. That's where the triangle came from. I didn't tell you that. This is part of Louisiana where they speak French. This encompasses about 22 parishes. Civil parishes, not church parishes, although they're almost one and the same. Okay, yeah, they're almost gone. Okay, I'm talking a little bit about this Creole. Okay, I'll get back to Creole. This is St. Martinsville. Up here, now this is, let me see, this is Mamou now. This is Bazile. Right here is Opelousas. That's where you're from, right, Millie?
That's right.
Okay, this is all.
I thought you were from Get Opelousas.
Never. It's not the horse, by the way. It's another group of Indians. And it was called Post the Opelousas, right here. This is a big, big outpost. And this is, we're talking about late 1600s to even the late 1700s before it was called Opelousas, late 1700s. Now, it's funny, you know, we're getting there 1790 about. I put that date on it because I have a quote. And Tracy, I'll give you that quote if you want. There's this quote, this is a Spanish man, traveler going through Louisiana, and he stumbles upon a party, a house dance, and he finds this guy by the name of Prejean. People pronounce Prejean, but he's Prejean. It's a Cajun name or Acadian name, and he's playing at a party, and he's playing clarinet and fiddle. I thought that was an interesting combination. I wonder how he did that together, but anyway, that's what he claims. So the music, and obviously, and he talks about the music, and the music, he said this was a distinct, different style of music, but it could be played in the parlors of France or Paris. That's what he says. So anyway, so this was going on here in Opelousas. Now the first outpost in Louisiana was, this is Alexandria, it's the Air Force base, right? Right above this is Natchitoches, which I won't even try to spell. It's Natchitoches. So Natchitoches, it kind of looks like, but it's Natchitoches. Okay, that's where we have to. This was the original French post. Now, during the time, I mean, I'll just put this here because it has some bearing on our French music. Because when Napoleon sold Louisiana, right, we go through that, he had sent a lot of his soldiers here. For reasons, either they didn't want to fight or something, would come to Louisiana. They even have a house for him in New Orleans. If you ever go to New Orleans in the French Quarter, it's called the Napoleon House. And he never went there, but it's a really good bar, you know, it's got, anyway, this is, he didn't know about it, he missed all this, you know. So anyway, so a lot of his soldiers, a lot of soldiers from the French, from his French army at this time were in Louisiana. I'm just kind of give you like a cross-cultural, they say, you know, what's going on here. All right, this is sort of the French. Now the Acadians, I have to erase some of this stuff here. The Acadian troop, now it's Acadian, by the way. And you say, wow, where did that name come from? Well, that's another day we'll talk about. Well, I can even talk a little bit about that. But where's the name? The Acadian name doesn't come from Arcadia. That was Greek. A lot of people, you know, think of this, but in a way, the Arcadia to the Greeks meant like a paradise or whatever. But Acadians was originally called like this. It was spelled like this in a lot of maps and things like this. Now this is way up here, Acadie, in what Nova Scotia is now. And it's a beautiful, I guess It doesn't snow that much, they say, like that, but it's pretty cold, but it's got a peninsula, and it's really, it's sheltered from the water, and from the ocean. But where do the Acadians come in here, and why do they leave, and et cetera, and what kind of music did they play? And why did they come here? Well, to make a long story short, and I'm sure a lot of you know, that the first founder of Port Royal in Nova Scotia was in 1604, right? And when was Jamestown founded? Right, so which was first? I went through this thing while this is academia thing where I wanted to change all Louisiana textbooks, because it was in the mid 70s, and you open up a Louisiana history book, okay, this is a high school book, and you find one page of the Cajuns. The Cajuns are fun-loving people who love to dance. You know, I said, what? And you say, what? You know, that was it, you know? And so we went on this big tirade, so we got two papers. You know, they like to play music and dance. We're talking about what they have done to Louisiana, and they said they're hardworking and all that, and known for their food and stuff. And they said, you know, this is not it. So we went back and added a couple of paragraphs. I was working with this organization called CODAFIL, which is looks like this now. And what this, it doesn't look like at all, but what this means, the Council for the Development of French in Louisiana, which is funny when you think of development of French, you know, it was supposed to be always French. Well, it was, but I mean, it's gone through some terrible things as far as the French. And I'll get to that as we go along, modern days. Okay. So they were in Acadie, and I mean Nova Scotia over there, and it's really sort of intriguing about what kind of place it was and why did they go there. They originally, the Acadians, most of them came from France. We say France is a big place, and it is a big place. But on the side, let me see my map here, I'm going to take off Texas. If you know France, it kind of goes like this. And England's like right here, sort of. Okay, right here, let's see, this is La Rochelle here. This is Brittany, this comes out a little bit more. This comes out a little bit more right here. This would be a little town called Abbeville, and this would be, what's the name of that? There's another place that goes up here, I'll remember it. That's where they had D-Day and all that stuff. This is Normandy, in fact. All right. Have any of you been to France? Have you been to this part of France? Okay, so you know exactly what I'm talking about around here. This was La Rochelle, and right here is a town called Loudun. Any of you ever read the novel by Aldous Huxley called The Devils of Loudun? You ever see the movie called The Devils?
Yeah.
You seen that? This is the town, that's where we're from. That's where the Blancs are from, right here. Right here. See, that's on one side of our name, I have LeBlanc, which means the white, I don't know why. And then I have Doucet on this side. I mean, I'm not going to go through my whole heritage, but anyway, that's just the names, and I'll come back to that. This was the second to last walled city, and this was the late 1500s. Second to last walled city in France. They had this tyrant, well, can't use that word. Yeah, because we might have Catholics here. And I know what guilt is to Catholics. So anyways, Cardinal Richelieu, he was like, you know, the one. So he wanted to rule France.
The eraser.
Hear that, Richelieu, you going, Jack. So Loudun was the place where, I have to look in my notes, but we'll get to this. The man who actually founded Acadie, he was from this area, and that's where we're from. He left in 1604. Obviously, our family didn't leave there until in the 1620s to really do it, but this was the first one that went there. But anyway, in Loudun, this one was going on. I mean, you have all this, just to give you an example, it has no relation at all to what I'm talking about, but just this story of what went on in Loudun. There was this priest who was a very modernistic priest as we think of it today. But in this time, they thought of him as like heavy into witchcraft or some kind of weirdo, because he infected, they had a nunnery there. And he was like, you know, a very hip guy, sort of, who knew what was going on to the, you know, in, like on a broad sense of the world, plain. Well, all the nuns started getting crazy. You know, all these nuns having these weird ideas about this priest and said this priest is making love to us in our sleep and all this stuff. So anyway, so they burn him. They burn him at the stake. And that's, I mean, so to make a long story short. So, I mean, this is what was going on. I mean, and then the nuns said, what have we done? And so now they self-flagellate themselves and all this crazy stuff. But anyway, so you wanted to get away from a place like that, right? And so they did. And so one of the ports they left was La Rochelle, which was next to go. So from La Rochelle, a lot of these people go. Now, this area here is called Poitou. And it's a beautiful place. It, you know, it's sort of, those have been to Louisiana, you know how bayous never go real straight? Well, there they have, it's like bayous. They have streams, but I don't know what they call them. I don't think they call them bayous. They could. But I mean, the area, the topography looks exactly like Louisiana with a lot of trees and things like that, and just the way of life. And they have boats that look like pirogues. Pirogues, right? Rogue. I like that name. P-Rogue. P-Rogue. Oh, there it is. G-U-E. Which is just pronounced P-Rogue. It's a little flat-bottom boat. It's sort of like a skiff. The difference is it has the draft is about 2 inches, and you can go over wet grass. You know, it's that fast. And anyway, so that's what they use up here, too. So this, and they have people up here. I can't remember which they came. I'll think about it later. So anyway, so why did they want to leave? I mean, France was not the place. It was, the king was a Huguenot, which a lot of Acadians weren't. And so they said, well, okay, we got a chance to do this. There were certain people who said, well, how did they get together, you know? I mean, why do they call themselves Acadians, and what is the deal? Well, they had people who were just regular people. And if you go to this part of Brittany, you'll notice everything in this part of Brittany starts with this, cur that, you know? Like, this is the Celtics, or the Celts. This is this whole big area. You have these monitors and all these stones all over the place, you know? These people are very superstitious. And that's sort of part of the mystique, and part of their freedom, and their idea to live. Now, their social scene wasn't too great because it was still, they were treated like, you know, servants and, you know, and have to work for somebody else and the whole bit. So they wanted to leave. And it was all in this area, and just people who banded together and did that. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, later what happened where they picked everyone out of jail and stuff like that. They put them in jail, but it was a different thing. So this was sort of their attitude and their feeling. Now, when they got there, I want to say a little bit about this. It's called Port Royal. I think it's called Annapolis now, but the first one was called. And it went back and forth, French and English, French and English, French and English. When they got, this was the first democratic society. Now, when you say democratic society in the 1600s, that is a very strange word. It was democratic. I mean, there are written reports from this time that in the little towns that they had up there, there was always town meetings, there were always group decisions, it was like people getting together to understand each other and for the benefit of the group. Not as you found along the eastern seaboard and what was going on then. And for most of the years, and there's my razor. For most,
excuse me, Michael, where's Port Royal? Is that up north or down south?
Port Royal is in Acadie. Here's Nova Scotia right here. This is Nova Scotia. Okay. This is not exactly right here. Port Royal is right here. Okay, this is the bay, what they call the Bay of Fundy. They call that something else now. Right here is New Brunswick. And this is like, if you go up, this is like Maine. Maine is right here. That's right there. That's where it is. So in other words, they came around here. And this is such a beautiful place. And they said they get, you know, all the wind and stuff, and the hills will break up right here. And right here was always very, it's like Monterey. Which reminds us, use a little history, my history. You talk about the Evangeline, right? Well, Evangeline was filmed in 1928, and it starred Dolores Del Rio, who could barely speak English. It was a silent movie. And the part of the dispersion of the Acadians was filmed in Monterey because it looked so much alike. But anyway, we won't go through that right now. But that's where this is. But I just wanted to let you know. Monterey, California. So much rock ID. That's the English on this side. All right. So anyway, so this time, I mean, and then we, yes?
I'm curious. Did people come to fish, to live with fishermen primarily out there?
They were. They were both fishermen and farmers.
The richest fishing grounds in the world.
Well, they, yeah, that's right, exactly. They were great fishermen. I mean, they were you know, oarsmen and things, but they were also farmers. They were, I mean, they had everything a society could want. They were bricklayers. I mean, they were home builders, the whole bit. They weren't, you know, a funny thing about that, they were fishermen, but they weren't, as we call, you know, like Rambo hunters. They had mostly domestic animals. Which means, I mean, they had like chickens and cows and things like that. But I mean, they weren't like, you know, not like the coureur de bois, which I'll get into later, which is like the Canadians who came back and we say little songs like this. So they were fishermen, et cetera, and trading that came down here, up there in Acadie. And to make a little, to tell you a little bit about their history there, for the whole time, they spoke French. But the French and English sort of mixed like water and oil. And for the whole time, when they were here, like I said, this is Bay of Fundy. They were here in this area around here. And then you have, forget this map, but this is like Maine, and then we go down to Boston over here. The English and the French were always at odds. Now, to the Acadians, they weren't crazy about the French either. I mean, if they were crazy about the French, they would never have left France. And they did. They left France for a reason. So to them, it didn't matter to them who owned the land as far as the whole this region, as long as they could survive. And a lot of times they prefer to go with the English than the French. Because the French what the English would do, the English would entice them to join their armies and they would have to serve in the militia. And that was okay, but they would still speak French because the governor up there said you could still speak French. But the French, they'd come in and they'd capture another fort over there and they'd say, well, you know, if you don't do this, we'll shoot you, you know? So it was like, God, where are we going to go? So anyway, so the heated battle came, and this had been going on for a while. Like I said, 1624 was when it really started to develop into the early 1700s. And after the early 1700s is when you'd have different attacks where the English people would come up there and burn some things and have a fort, and then Acadie would go back to the English, and then a little bit while they'd have an uprising and go back to the French. And all this time, they lived here with this group of Indians called the Mi'kmaq Indians and other people. And then the English tried to move some Scots, or you know, succeeded to move some Scots into that area. And so it was still blossoming, it was still becoming a nation, it was still called Acadie. Until the later French and English wars, when unfortunately the English had this Gestapo head by the name of Charles Lawrence. He was just a colonel. And he was in charge. And so he said he gave the Acadians an ultimatum. He said, okay, well, here we have a war, says we know you're neutral, and they wanted to be neutral. And that was one of the first, that's another thing about the Acadians, their ideals. They're one of the first neutrals in America, in the New World. And I think that's kind of neat, you know, I mean, very pacifist, you know, sort of like a crawfish, you know. and it didn't really sit with this English guy, you know, it didn't really sit very well. Because he gave him ultimatum, well, okay, so if you want to, since you have to be English subjects, and in English subjects, you have to pledge your allegiance to the king, which to them was like, you know, something to the early Christians and the Romans. I mean, you know, this idolatry or something. They really didn't dig that because they didn't go along with the king of France. And also, they had to speak English. They had to forget all their customs and go along with this. So they just couldn't do that. And they just said, we're not going to fight. We're not going to bear arms, period. Well, it's funny because going back to the Catholic history, or the history of the Catholics in the Acadian culture, On August 15th is the feast. It's a holy day of obligation. It means you have to go to church, but it's the feast of the Ascension. And anyway, and it's August 15th. Well, at that time, these English were really clever. They said, okay, this is a feast. We want all the men in the churches, because that was the big meeting halls. Churches and meeting halls the same day, like classroom. Anyway, they herded them there. And they said, and with, you know, guns and everything, and they said, okay, this is it. You're either going to sign this oath that you become English citizens, or you're not going to leave the church. Well, a certain band over there didn't leave the church for 2 weeks, and nobody signed. So this governor said, well, this is it. Let's go. We're gonna send you to the four winds. We're gonna disperse. There's not gonna be any Acadian nation anymore. This is the end. So this is what happened in 1755, which is the date. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the whole Holocaust, you know? I mean, I'm not gonna paint a really pretty picture, because I'm sure it really wasn't a very, very pretty picture. Because when I was talking about this place, it's really a most remarkable place. It is sort of like California as far as the weather and the beauty and everything, or like this, I'm sure. You know, and it's just, except there's not too much snow. But nevertheless, they had to move. And it wasn't, okay, well, you know, take your time, you know, and we'll come pick up your bags. It was like they burned their homes. They shot their cattle and the whole bit. And they said, okay, you have to be on the beach. And they were herded on the beach like, you know, like animals, sort of. A lot of them went back into Canada, or tried to go back. And came back, but a lot of them, you know, they were put on boats. I mean, I'm sure they weren't luxury liners either. And you know, you hear these terrible tales about families being separated. Well, I don't think it was totally intended, but the intention was to get these people on boats as fast as they can. So with all this confusion, that's when it happened. And they sort of did boats. I mean, they divided boats not into families, but into age groups. So if you were 12, you were a boy or a man or a woman, and you belong in this boat and things like that. So it's that kind of things that happen. Now, what happened from there? You say,
Michael,
well, okay.
You have a number of people involved. In
there were over 20,000 Acadians at that time. 20,000 people. Half survived. Half survived. We're going to go into that. I guess we're going to do the Acadian in depth tomorrow. I'll give you a lot of facts if you want to do that. And you say, well, where are they going to send them, you know? Well, they sent them down the eastern seaboard, like to Boston was the earliest port, or the nearest port, and then to New York, and it goes down along that seaboard. Now, it wasn't when these people, you understand, if I'm sure it was, if they, you just, you load, you get ready to go somewhere on a boat or a dump truck, let's say, in modern days, and you travel for 2 weeks, and you know, you don't look the best, you know. So they, when they arrived here, people didn't want them. Some of these places, and Charleston for once, they became indentured servants. And they said, you know, here are big families and things like that. Boston was probably the nicest port to them on the east side. There are stories about people taking whole families in, because they said, I mean, what's a family? I mean, Acadian family constituted as a grandfather, grandmother, all the relative, all the sisters, brothers. I mean, you know, a family was like 22 people. You know, it wasn't like four people like we have now with big families. So when they say it's separated, you know, it's separate. And everybody really was together, because in these little towns, like here, and this involves the music again, and this involves the whole French tradition of troubadours and trouvères. Okay, let's take a little block. We're going back in time again. This is France, right? This is Louisiana, France. The troubadours, this is France, like this. The troubadours came from this area here, and they had a long doy, which was a certain kind of a dock, long dock, and over here was long doy. Anyway, they had, and the troubadours were here, the ministers were over there in Spain, and around this area they had the trouvères, and which meant seekers and et cetera. And what they did, they wrote music. Adam de la Halle is a famous trouvère and all this. And what they did finally, they became part of the court. But what they did, they told stories and they brought news from town to town. Well, that same tradition was in Acadie. That's where everybody was in touch with what's going on from town to town, not only through the musicians, but just through the people and through the families. When they separated, that was the problem. And they said, before they separated, they said, okay, we hear about this place down south called Louisiana. You know, La Louisiana was what it was called. Let's try to get there. If it might be a new place to start up again. But this is a long way. This is a real long way. And especially if you're put down on these ports and people don't want you. Now, a majority of the people, almost, okay, out of the 20,000, almost 8,000 went back to Europe. Now, can you imagine that? Now, how many people survived? I mean, they have some stories that is, they went back to Europe. Now, where did they go? Okay, well, they went back here to the, where they, La Rochelle, they came, Calais, that's the other port, Calais, up here. There's this little, in this part of Brittany, there's this town right by of Loudun called, it's called Ligne des Acadiens, which means Acadian line. After they came back, after this expulsion in 1755, the French king, who is, I believe, it was Louis XIV, if it wasn't XIV, it was the Cannes, it was the 15th, he set them up here. There are Acadian-style homes. If you know, those who've been down in Louisiana know we have a distinct kind of architecture for our homes. That style comes from this area, but it's also mixed in with a lot of this Caribbean island kind of style. They went back there and built some more homes, etc. They, in this area, there's a town up here called Abbeville. And guess what? There's a town in Louisiana called Abbeville. And there's also a beautiful little island right here called Belle-Île en Mer, which means beautiful island in the sea, which is a most remarkable island. Here, I mean, this is from personal history. This is where my family went. They went, and it was a story. This guy was called Désiré LeBlanc on that side. And of course, he was separated from his wife, so he marries again. And his wife dies, and then he marries again. Even he ends up having four wives and like 25,000 children or something like that. So he ends up here, and he builds a house. But the island is beautiful, but it's really hard to live on. And all this time, we're thinking about, or the Acadians are thinking about Louisiana, getting back. And the king of France has these people, and he gives them land. He says, okay, here you are. We give you land and want you to work and, you know, become French citizens. Well, you know, they have a little garden. That's all they're going to do. They're not going to do anything else. They know better than that. They know where this is going. So the king is really getting frustrated. And also, in England, they have people in England. The Isle of Jersey, they run. And they went to London. They went to all these places. They even went to, I can't think of many things. Where did the English have their war about 3 years ago? There are Acadians in the Falkland Islands. There's a town called Benoit in the Falklands. Yes, yes. That's a long way to go. So
none
anyways.
None of fire going around Florida, though.
Pardon?
None of it would be fire going all the way around Florida.
Oh, but they did. They
I
did.
Wondered about that.
No, okay, I'm glad you're going to bring that up. Now, I went around the eastern seaboard, right? Now, the eastern seaboard, like you said, you have to go around Florida. And those people, now, the Evangeline tale, interject with Evangeline, and went down to Mississippi. I believe really few of these people went down to Mississippi. I mean, it's a really nice story, but I don't believe it happened as such. They went down around Florida, and a lot of them were settled in Martinique because of the French planters. They said, okay, here's land, you can do that. And they gave them, you know, the same story. Here's 200 acres. We want you to, you know, grow cane for us and everything. He said, okay. And they come back 6 months later, and the Acadians have, you know, a little plot about as big as this room, this stuff, and subsistence farmers. That's all they wanted to do. So, I mean, these people, what? You know, they can't understand these guys. Okay, they said, we're shipping you off again. So they ended up in, I mean, New Orleans was the port. And it's, I mean, nobody was there, but there are reports. The disbursement was 1755. It's also called in French La Grande Arrangement, which means the big derangement. And in, when you talk to a Cajun down there about La Grande Arrangement, it's like you have a stomachache. You know? But I mean, so I mean, it's just little things that get back and forth. And now you say, I mean, also before I get into that, you say, were there songs from that period? There were many songs and ballads from that period that tell of the story, a tale of stories being at sea for a long time, being separated, you still find that song, but there is no direct tale that was that's come from there, because it's like something, it's something really terrible happens to you. I'm sure everybody in their life, something terrible. It's not something you want to remember all the time. So you kind of put it away, and it comes back in different forms. And that's sort of where the music comes from now. When I used to ask my grandmother about that. I mean, she knew the name of this Desiree LeBlanc. She knew about Akadi. She knew things like that. It was nothing she had read in books. This is all oral history that happened. Her thing was, oh, the Modi Yankees, you know, when the Yankees came down and did it. I mean, that was like the bad part. That's when the bad stuff happened to the Canadians. And even Dennis McGee, who is probably one of the, is 93 years old, he's going to be 94 week after next. He remembers songs. He talks about that, and he talks about people in Napoleon's time playing fiddle, and this guy's going to shoot him, and he says, oh, and he was talking to a general, General Patton, he said, and, you know, and they came down, and, you know, and he mixes all these things up. It's like, you know, whatever they pick, it's the same kind of history kind of moves. So when they came down, so they went to wanted to go back to New Orleans. 10 years after, well, not exactly 10, the first Acadians started to arrive, and so that's actually 7 years. But from that, but not all of them came back. Now, news did travel, very slow, but it did travel. When they got to New Orleans, to that port, they were really ragged. And guess what? New Orleans was Spanish. So I said, oh, here we go again, you know? And that's the Cabildo, because it went back and forth. And so at that time, they still had this post. Now, we're talking about 1762, and our friend C.C. Robin wrote that thing in the early 1700s. About all these crazy Indians down here. And so I'm sure there's a lot of Indians and different things, you know, maybe they ate alligators or something, I don't know. But I mean, so nobody wanted to go there is the main point. So what, and this is sort of documented now, I mean, things change.